Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
First Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and in verse 13 it says, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Many times when you read that, "but the greatest of these three is love," you can get the idea, get the impression that love is in a class all by itself and it stands alone and can function independently of faith and hope. But that's not what it's saying there. When it says that the greatest of these is love, it's not saying that love can operate separate of faith and hope, because in truth they can't. All three have to work together, just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. They are one. They're inseparable. The one can't function without the other and still be God. For God to be God, he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now you remember Jesus said that the Father is greater than I. So Jesus said the Father is greater than himself, but that didn't mean that the Father was separate from Jesus and would function independently of Jesus. Because we know they don't. They're inseparable. They function together as one. Well, it's the same thing here with faith, hope, and love. The three of them work together. And we'll pick up on hope at another time. But tonight I want to talk about the love and faith duo. I want to talk about the love and faith duo. Notice over here in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, the 5th chapter. And in verse 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Faith working through love. Faith, another translation says, faith works by love. So faith works through, or faith works by love, which means faith isn't going to work if love isn't present. And how many people know it's important to walk by faith and not by sight? If we're going to enjoy victory in life, we got to walk by faith, because faith is the victory over this world. And yet faith will not work independently of love, so we have to make sure that we are growing in our love walk. We have to make sure that we are walking in love in order for our faith to work. Now that word there in Galatians 5, 6, working, in the Greek, the original Greek language, the word working, means to be operative, be at work, put forth power to effect, efficient. So notice that. Faith working through love, or faith works by love. Faith works. What do you mean? Faith puts forth power by love. Faith is efficient and effective by love. So if there isn't love, then you might have faith, but there's no power coming forth. And faith is not being effective. It's not being efficient without love. Over here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. So we see that love is what makes faith work. Everybody say love makes faith work. But you can't love the way God loves without faith. And we see that here in 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Now we could say it this way. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from faith. And just leave out the words in between. But you could say it that way. The purpose of the commandment is love from faith. So love comes from faith. And faith works by love. So faith works only by love, or love makes faith work. And yet, love is from faith. So before there's love, there's faith. There has to be faith present for love to come forth. And that's so true, because we're talking about the love of God. We're not talking about the touchy-feely love of this world. We're not talking about natural human love. We're talking about the God kind of love. And that's a supernatural love. And that's loving people apart from how they appear according to the flesh. How they look, how they act, how they've treated you. It's loving them unconditionally. In order to love a person unconditionally like that, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. You can't go by how they look and how they act and how they talk and how they treat you. You can't do it if you're going to walk in the love of God. Because the moment somebody mistreats you and does you wrong, the moment that happens, if you're not in faith, then you're going to get out of love. You're going to get out of love. And you're going to react and treat them the way they're treating you. You're going to give them an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is what you're going to do. And, of course, we see that under the law of the Old Testament. But thank God we're no longer under the law. And the reason why we're not under the law anymore is because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean we're outlaws. That doesn't mean we're without the law. But we're no longer under the law, because now the love of God is what dominates us. And so it's no longer an eye for an eye. Now we can love people by faith. They can poke out your eye, and you can turn the other eye to them. Give them your other eye too. How can you do that? Well, you can only do that by faith. That means you have to be seeing something and believing something that goes beyond how things appear in the natural. And it says the purpose of the commandment is love. Well, we can say the purpose of the Word of God is love. Because how many of you know God's Word, the whole book, is a commandment? Yeah. How many people know God's Word is not the great suggestion? God's Word is not. God did not give us His Word and say, hey guys, try this out. See if you like it. See if it works for you. Doesn't work for you, you know, we'll try something else. No, this is God's Word. This is not a suggestion. There's nothing in here that God suggests that you do. It's one big commandment. And the whole purpose of the commandment, the whole purpose of the Word of God is love, is to cause us to grow in love. But we also know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. As we get in the Word, faith comes. And as faith comes, we're able to walk in the love of God. Walking not by how things appear or how things feel, but according to what we believe. And what do we believe? We believe the best. So you must be in faith to walk in love, and you must be in love for your faith to work. Now, if your love gets displaced, then your faith is going to have a wreck. If your love gets displaced, your faith is going to have a wreck. And we see that over here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in verse 10, it says, for the love of money. Now, remember, we covered this scripture before in this series. We were talking about something else. But the love of money, how many people know that's not the God kind of love? Now, the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now notice that. This love of money is not the love of God. Remember, we talked about how this word love in the Greek is that Greek word philagoura. Remember that? You all remember that. And it's a covetous, greedy love. It's a love that wants. So that's not the God kind of love. Now you can't be walking in this greedy, selfish, get all you can get love and walk in the love of God at the same time. Because God's love is just the opposite. In fact, just go to the next verse, verse 11. It says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Notice, you're going to find here in the New Testament, faith and love are always hanging out together. I mean, it's constant. They just can't get enough of each other. They're inseparable. Faith and love are always sticking together. There's a reason why the Bible says it that way. Faith, love. And you'll see it says that multiple times in different scriptures in the New Testament. Faith, love. He says, flee these things. Flee what things? That love of money, that selfish, human, get all you can get love. Flee that and pursue godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. That love, again, is that Greek word agape, which it means benevolence, charity, being generous. So it's a love that gives. It's the exact opposite. It's a love that gives. So God's love is a giving love. This worldly human love is a get-all-you-can-get love. And if you get out of God's love and get over into human love, your faith is going to get messed up. You're going to have a faith wreck. Doesn't he say that? He shows you right here. You get your love displaced and you put your affections in natural things and get over in the give me kind of love, it'll ruin your faith. It'll shipwreck your faith. He says, forsake that, flee from that, and pursue. Get in the hot pursuit of the God kind of faith and love. That give love, that generous love, that charity love. And notice also here in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. Everybody say the faith. See, there's a faith, and then there's the faith. The faith. The faith is talking about the God kind of faith. The real faith. The real faith. In 1 Timothy 1:5, you don't have to go there, but he says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Everybody say sincere faith. Well, what do you mean by sincere? Genuine. Real. Real faith. So there's a real faith, which is the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. That's the real faith. And then there is, if there's a real faith, and if he says that way here, if he says from a good conscience and from sincere faith, then he's right there leaving the impression that there is a fake faith. There's a faith that's not real, a false faith. Well, just like there's a false faith, there's a false love. There's a fake love, and it's that natural human love where it pretends to be sacrificial and giving, but it's really all about getting. So as surely as there's a fake faith, there's a fake love. There's a human faith, and there's a human love. But we're not to be walking in the human love or human faith. And of course, you see that human love and human faith over in Genesis 11, a great illustration of that. Genesis, the 11th chapter, after the flood of Noah, and people began to multiply on the face of the earth again. All the people came together, and they decided to build a tower whose top reached into heaven. So they were going to build their own way to heaven. And they didn't need God. And it says in a verse, Genesis 11, verse 4, it says, "And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." So they're saying, hey, come on, guys, let's all unify. Let's come together. It's the love thing to do. Anybody that stands in the way of our being unified together and coming together as one, we can't tolerate those kind of people. We can't tolerate these, because that's not love. That's not love. Anybody that doesn't get on board with us and doesn't become one with us and doesn't get into unity with us is not walking in love. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it's the world. It's nothing new. It's been going on since Genesis chapter 11. Way before the Twin Towers. It was back here at this tower. This Tower of Babel. And it was all about unity and one. We're all going to be one together, and we're going to have a one world government. And a one world currency. It's going to be the united world. No more nations. No more sovereign countries. Just everybody. That's division. That's wrong. We all need to come together as one. We need to coexist together. So it's the same thing. We see that all over the place today. It's just the same spirit of this world moving in the children of men who are lost in the dark, and they come together and they call it love. It's love, baby. And we all come together as one, and we all share the same things together. Sounds beautiful. Sounds like unity. Anybody that get in the way of that is an obstructionist. They're the problem. They're the one that's causing all the wars in the world. We all need to unite together as one. Love, love, love. Peace and unity. And what people do is they throw away conviction, which comes from God. They throw out God. And they say, let us come together as one. We are the world. We are the children. Right? We are the world. We are the children. How's it go? Huh? Let's start giving. What? There's a choice. Give him a microphone. This guy can sing. Come here. Come here, Terrence. I didn't know you had it in you. First Brandon, now you. Come up here. Incredible. Sing it.
Or say it.
We are the sing?
You got to sway.
That's Michael Jackson. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones to make a brighter day. So let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true. We'll make a brighter day, just you and me.
Beautiful. He said he was waiting for his moment. He just had it. Find that song. We're going out of here. Praise. We're going to praise God with that tonight. We are the world. But you notice it was what we're going to do. Just us. We're going to make this thing happen. There's no God. There's no God. Did you notice that? There's no God in the equation. That's the same thing here. And it sounds like love, and it sounds like unity, but it's godliness and it's an evil perversion of the truth. It's a fake faith and it's a fake love. It's an ungodly thing. And that's exactly what's going on here. And so then we come down to, Genesis 11, verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. They're in unity. That's love. Isn't that love? Right? If they're in one, if they're one together, then they must be in love. Well, they are. But it's a natural human love. It's a self-seeking love. And people can rally together out of a motivation that's all about ourselves and not others. You can become unified together as one under a banner of selfishness, under a banner of a banner of love that is selfish in its nature. So we don't want to get deceived. We got to understand that. There's the love of God and there's this natural. Well, if it's unity and the people are one and these people are coming in here and they call themselves Christians and they're causing the division. Well, true love many times will bring division. Remember, Jesus said, he said, I did not come to bring peace on earth, but a sword. A sword to divide families. Mothers from their daughters and fathers from their sons and brothers and sisters and cause division. Why? Because there's a right way of doing things and there's a wrong way of doing things. And we call them both love. But one's fake, one's real. And so the real love, if you really love somebody, you're going to come in there and sometimes you're going to have to be firm. And we talked about this. You're going to have to come in there and be sharp and you're going to have to cut and separate yourself from people and you're going to have to separate from different things that other people are involved in. But you know what? Ultimately, it's for the good of everybody. Because it's for the good of God and his kingdom. And God's interested in everybody. Compromise is not love. Well, there's got to be compromise. There's got to be compromise. We got to have compromise. We got to have compromise for everything to work. You got to compromise. Oh, really? Jesus didn't compromise. And God's not going to compromise. God's not going to compromise his word. You got to compromise so we can all get along. Who said we're all supposed to get along? Well, that's love, not necessarily. Love isn't all about getting along. Love is about doing what's right and forsaking what's wrong. That's love. So we're going to do the right thing. Verse 6, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now watch this. So we got the love part, right? The unity. We see the unity? Notice this next thing he says. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. What do you mean? All things are possible to him that believes. See, they're over here in a perverted form of faith. And in that perverted form of faith, just like that perverted form of love brought about unity, this perverted form of faith can bring about amazing things. You can get whatsoever things you desire. You can cause things to come to pass. And you hear that in the world. There's people that they're absolutely godless. They don't know the Lord. They don't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. But they'll sell you their tapes and their books on positive thinking and only believing. All you gotta do is believe. And they'll sound like a preacher, just no anointing. But they'll sound like a preacher. And they'll talk about believing and reaching for the moon and landing on the stars. Landing among the stars, you know. Shoot for the moon. Whatever you want, you can have it. And they'll talk about how you speak and you got to speak positive. I mean, there's all kinds of business principles about speaking positive, declaring what you want, calling those things into being that appear not to be so. I mean, there's folks, there's businesses that they'll tell you, you know, hang up pictures of the things you want. Put that picture of the yacht and that house and the mansion and all those cars that you want and all those things. And put those things up all over your house and believe. Believe big, because you can have it. Just buy my tape series on believing big. And it works. And you know what it does? It will work. And folks do it. But there's just one problem. It's a perverted form of faith, and it's going to end in confusion and judgment. That's what's going to happen. People that operate in that kind of faith and that kind of love end up very confused. They end up living very confused lives. They can only go so far. Then it begins to fall apart. And that's exactly what happened here. Verse 7. Come, let us go down. And they're confused. They're like, all God has to do is just come down. All God has to do is show up. He just messes everything up. Come, let us come down and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. It all fell apart. So they were getting things done. God himself recognized, man, all things are possible with these people. But there's just one problem. When a child of God comes down, when God comes down through the body of Christ, when the church arises, they come on the scene. They mess the whole thing up. I mean, God, look at what God did here. Came in there, messed the whole thing up. Everyone went into confusion. They all got frantic. They all panicked. And they all ended up scattered all over the place. I mean, God just messed the whole thing up. They were all in unity. They were in love. They had signs, Woodstock, Babel. Everybody was sharing everything. They were unified. And then God came down. And you know, many times God comes down through people. Right? And God came down. And God comes down today. God is down today. God's here in us. As long as you're here, you're a source of confusion and scattering. You confuse and scatter things. And so those that want to walk in this false love and this false faith, they're not going to necessarily like you. And what would love do? Would it do anything it could to try to make them like you? No, it's going to hold to its convictions. It's going to hold to the commandments. Because the commandment is what causes faith and love. You're living by the word of God. Living by God's commandments. And that's what we're going to stick to. But there's, people tell you, you got to compromise. You know, that's how we win people today. Church has to be all inclusive. Has to let every kind of thing come in. Welcome everybody and accept everybody's life. Well, we welcome everybody, but you're not going to be able to stay the same around here. Why? Because we're going to preach the gospel. We're going to preach the word of God. The truth's going to go forth. And what does it do? Like a sword, it divides. It separates. That's just what it does. But we're going to continue in it. Can you say amen? Because it leads to life. This love never fails. The other will end in confusion. You get so far, you get a couple mansions maybe. You have a couple boats, you have a nice things. And meanwhile, your inward life is decaying. You're falling apart and you're corroding from the inside out. You're going into confusion because the Bible says where there's self-seeking, there's confusion and every evil thing will be there. And so these folks that are all about self and self-motivation, I'm a motivational speaker, I'm going to motivate you, myself, I'm going to motivate yourself. It's all about motivating one another. What's going to happen there? You might get somewhere, but after a while, from the inside out, things are going to start to fall apart. It always does. But when you operate in the God kind of faith, the God kind of love, it never fails, it's eternal, and it just goes on into eternity. Praise God. No judgment, no fear of shipwrecks or any such things. Can you say amen? So there's this natural human love, this natural human faith, and really this human love, this human faith is a love, a faith that comes from the mind of man, not the heart of man. In fact, John Wesley once said that the devil has given the church a substitute for faith. One that looks and sounds so much like faith that few people can tell the difference. This substitute he called mental assent. In other words, people mental assent the word of God. They think that they're believing it in their heart, but they're only believing it with their mind. Many people read God's word and agree that it is true, but they are agreeing only with their minds. And that is not what gets the job done. It is heart faith that receives from God. And we see that over here in Mark, the 11th chapter. Verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his head, but believes in his mind, those things he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." Is that what it says? No. What does it say? "And does not doubt in his heart." That's different from your head. You got to understand that you're a spirit and you have a mind and you live in a body. Most folks are living their life out of their mind, out of their reasonings, out of their head. And that's how most people live, because most people are spiritually dead. But you and I are born again. We're spiritually alive. So now we're to be living life out of our heart. And that's where the faith of God is, and that's where the love of God is. It flows out of our heart. So he says, does not doubt in his heart. Notice it doesn't say, does not doubt in his head. In other words, you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head and still be in faith. As long as you don't doubt in your heart. You say, how do you tell the difference? Well, that's all about growing up spiritually, growing in the love of God. Because as you grow in the love of God, you'll become a more discerning person. And you'll be able to recognize what's of your head and what's of your heart. You'll understand the voice of the mind is reasoning. But the voice of your heart is conviction. The devil, he'll always try to come. You can always tell that when the devil's trying to get you to believe something, because he tries to get you into believing through convincing you. But God never tries to convince you. God convicts you. That's the difference. There's a big difference between being convinced and being convicted. God's not going to keep doing things in the natural and in the flesh to try to convince you of something. That's the devil. That's how he works. Well, if this happens and that happens, then it must be God. Or if this happens, that happens, then maybe that's God. And we're looking around at all the things that are going on around us to figure out whether this is God or not, or what God has for us or what he does not have for us. And we're trying to get convinced by the things that are going on around us. No, that's head faith. That's That's walking according to your mind, not walking according to your spirit. We need to be good at living by our convictions. We are a people of conviction, not preference. We don't go with what seems good. Another big thing today is opinions. Opinions. Everybody wants everybody's opinion. Call in and give us your opinion. I mean, just one opinion after the other. It's amazing today. They call it the news. And they'll tell you one thing. You know, they'll tell you, they'll give you a little clip of this one story, and then there's the panel. Well, let me tell you what I think. Well, I just don't think so. No, I think. And for the rest of the day, everybody's going to tell you how they think about that one thing that happened. And a lot of people like to hear what other people think because they like opinions, because they live by opinions and preference and not conviction. When you're a person of conviction, you get bored very fast of people's opinions. Because opinions mean nothing. They are a vapor. If you live by your opinions, your life will be just a vapor that appears for a little while and then is no more. But if you live out of your convictions, and your convictions are rooted in the commandments, rooted in God's word, then you will abide forever. You and what you do will remain forever. But if you just live according to the flesh and according to your opinions, you are like a little vapor cloud that appears for a little while and then is no more. So we're not a people of preference, we're a people of conviction. So we recognize, I got a conviction, my mind is there's all kinds of doubt and unbelief come to my mind, but I know what I believe. I got a conviction. Where'd it come from? Came from God's word. Came from hearing the word of God. And I got a conviction about it. And so we're not moved off of that conviction. That's faith. But mental assenting is just thinking. And your thinker can change. I think. And sometimes they won't even say, I think. They say, I know. And then things radically go the opposite direction. They go, I thought so. Actually, what I was thinking was, I'm amazed that it happened that way. I didn't think that would happen. I really was convinced. I know, and you convinced a whole lot of people of what you were convinced of. But it was just being convinced, not being convicted by the Spirit of God. We got to get that right. That's how we're to be led in life, led by our convictions. The love of God is a conviction. The faith of God is a conviction. We got to be people of conviction, not people operating out of our heads, but people operating out of our hearts. No doubting, fully persuaded on the inside. And to get fully persuaded in your heart, you got to get to know the word. You got to know the truth. You got to allow yourself to become fully persuaded by what God says, and know that this is what God is saying, and know it. Know it. Keep it before you. Don't let it depart from you. Meditate in it day and night. It's a part of your life. Say, meditate, damn, that sounds exhausting. It's a part of who you are. I mean, everything we do in life, it's just, I don't actually say necessarily this, but you're always asking yourself, what does the word say about this? What does God's word say about this? A lot of times, before I can even ask it, scripture comes to me. Somebody says something happens, something in Proverbs comes to me. Something in the Psalms comes to me. Something over here in James comes to me. You know, the scriptures come. And everything goes through the filter of God's word. And it's God's word. That's what we're building our life on. Everything is by the Word of God. And anything that's not by the Word of God, well, don't get too uptight about it. It comes, it goes, it changes just like the weather. Stuff changes all the time. So don't get overly joyed over things that are able to change overnight. And definitely don't get depressed and want to give up when things look like they're going negative in life. Because there's a lot of things in this world that are up and down. We understand that. That's not who we are. That's not what we live by. We live by faith, walking in the love of God. And so stuff happens all the time, but that we're consistent. And the stuff that, you know, if we don't have word for it, if we don't have a conviction about it, then just chill out. Don't get so uptight about it. Don't get so uptight just because your feelings are hurt. Don't get so aroused just because of your thoughts and your feelings. We don't get aroused because of outward things. Because we understand outward things are light and fluffy. And we're not light and fluffy people. Somebody say, I'm not a light and fluffy person. We're not light and fluffy, folks. We're heavy. We're people of substance. We're weighty. We're solid. We're people of conviction. Our yes is yes. Our no is no. We set our face like flint. We follow God's plan. Regardless of what's changing and what's going on around us, we're going to follow the plan of God. So we're not going to react and get all passionate for the negative or the positive. In the things of this world, we get passionate about things that are eternal. Oh, we get wound up over our convictions. Our convictions get us fired up, right? We're passionate about our convictions. And we're passive concerning the things of the flesh that are temporary. We're taking some time on this. Because most folks got it in the world. I'm not talking about here. You guys are great. Perfect. But most folks in the world, they got it completely the opposite way around. It's completely the opposite way around. They're passionate, and they're excited, and they're motivated, and they're moved by earthly things, the flesh. But we need to be a people of conviction. And you got to come back and say, if this is not a conviction, then relax. And there are some very natural things in this world that may not appear to be spiritual, but you might have some inside information about some things. And you might know some things by the Holy Spirit and have a conviction about it. And it might be generally a superficial thing in and of itself. But yet there's something in it that you have a conviction about. And so therefore, you're passionate and fired up about it. But it's because of a conviction, not just because of what's going on in the natural. And I could give you illustrations, but I don't want to leave the wrong impression. So I'll just leave that hanging out there for you to figure out. Can you say that? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at this. Let's look at this duo. Let's look at this dynamic duo of faith and love. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. I'll probably just rattle these things off to you. 1 Timothy 1, 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It's love and faith. There they are hanging out together in the same verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease praying for you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. So notice again, faith, being grounded in love. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. Love with faith. Love with faith. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. See, they go together. Faith in Christ. You got faith in Christ. You got faith in Christ? How's your love for the saints? Well, I got faith in Christ. That's nice. How's your love for the saints? Well, I got faith in Christ, Pastor. I don't particularly like the saints. That's why I don't go to church. A bunch of hypocrites. They're hypocrites. And I got hurt. Last time I went to church, they hurt me. How's the saints? I don't know. I don't see them very much. I don't talk to them very much. But I got faith in Christ. That's nice. Well, your faith in Christ is not going to be operative. It's not going to work. It's not going to put forth any power. It's not going to be efficient unless you do something about the saints. That's why we need to come to church. You need to be around the saints. You need to have a relationship with the saints. Come on, somebody. You need to love the saints. And, of course, if you're operating in faith, that's easy. You're not going to sit there and say, she sat in my chair and she knew it was my chair. You're not even looking at that. You walk by faith and not going by sight. Going by faith. Not judging people by sight. You're judging them based on faith. Praise God, they're Christians. Saints. God calls them saints. You're a saint. Saint David. Hallelujah. Saint Stephen. I like that. Say your name. Say Saint so-and-so. Go ahead. Huh? Say it again. I'll say it with some conviction for crying out. Saint Agnes. Saint Agnes Cathedral. St. Agnes. St. Agnes. That's some passion there. That's conviction. That's good. You got to connect with your convictions. You got to connect with your heart. You got to connect with the Word. You got to connect with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I'm speaking the Word and the Spirit of God's in you. Connect with it. Get connected to it. Which means what? Get excited about it. Woo-hoo-hoo, hallelujah. Saint? Saint Gordy. I heard him. Couldn't hear anybody else. Everybody's like, "Ugh." I heard Gordy. Saint? Saint John. That's natural. That flows. You need to look in the mirror tonight and say, "Good evening, Saint," and say your name. You need to get that in you. I'm a saint. Get in faith about yourself. Remember, learning to love yourself. It's key to being able to love other people. Right? You love yourself. You got to know you're a saint. Believe in the work of God in you and in who you are in Christ Jesus. Stir yourself up in it, and then know, praise God, you're sitting around some saints, not some ain'ts. So treat them like that. Colossians 1:4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Got to have them both. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. How many people are excited to see your brethren tonight? Don't lie. But get stirred up. You get to see the brethren. Get to see the brethren. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians, here's a good one. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. Notice that faith and love make up the same piece of armor. They're not even separated in the armor. They both make up the breastplate. Faith and love. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. So their faith growing exceedingly went right along with their love for each other abounding. So if our faith's got to abound, our love's got to abound. If our love's got to abound, our faith's got to abound. They got to go together. And it's interesting to me that in 90% of those scriptures, faith was put ahead of love. Faith was put ahead of love, yet love is greater. Usually what's greater goes first. But it goes to show how much faith is needed in order for us to be able to walk in love. You got to be in faith. You got to be in faith to operate in the love of God. Because you can only love by going by what you, by your convictions and not by how things appear. Now, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, God's faith is in you and God's love is in you. So we're not trying to get faith and we're not trying to get love. All we're doing is identifying faith and love. We're identifying the two of them and recognizing the need to walk in them both. But you already have all the faith you need and all the love you need. Because God poured out his love by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. God's poured out his love by the Holy Spirit. But 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, you having the same spirit of faith. So we have the spirit of faith already in us. And that's the same spirit whereby God's love has been poured out into our hearts. So we already have all the faith. We're not trying to get faith and we're not trying to get love. We get in the word not to get it, but to cause it to come forth. When the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God, it's not talking about, you know, you don't have it and you're getting it. When you look that up, what it's saying there is faith comes forth. Faith comes out. Comes out of you. Faith comes out of you. God's word brings the faith of God out of you. God's commandments brings the love of God out of you. So we're not over here in need trying to get it. If you're born again, you already got these things. Now praise God, just let it come forth. God's word tonight is to cause it to come forth. Come forth. Put a demand on it. Expect it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.